الطيبين الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم اخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم واكرمنا بنور الفهم. اللهم افتح علينا باب رحمتك وانشر علينا من خزائن علومك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. My brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. There is something very special about these nights that, subhanAllah, as soon as I walk into the masjid and I see all of you, I can feel your energy. And I straight away feel myself being transformed without any intention of my own, because of how much love there is inside this room for the Imam al-Ma'soom, the chosen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is not something minor. And as I'm here, I want to take this opportunity to bask in your presence, that the lovers of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam are all around you, everywhere here. I know we're all squeezed up, but subhanAllah, all of us are here because of our love for the Imam, and you start to feel love for each other. Yeah, you want to help each other. You might not even know each other's names. This is a beautiful opportunity given to us by Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the way he makes us all feel like family. And then we look at his words, the words I mentioned yesterday, those spiritual words that he speaks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, showing us that it is possible to combine being a warrior whilst being a man of spirit. That the general and warrior Aba Abdullah on the battlefield, no fear against 30,000 alone, also speaks words to Allah where he is completely weak and has nothing, and gives himself completely to Allah. In his words, you see in Dua Arafah, and he says, إِلَهِ مَنْ كَانَتْ حَقَائِقَهُ دَعَاوِي فَكَيْفَ لَا تَكُونَ دَعَاوِيهِ دَعَاوِي. Lord, he whose own realities and attributes, those which are facts, these are empty claims. That everything inside me, people all see me, they see my strength and beauty and knowledge and power, but I know that it's not even mine, it's yours. Then how so for one who just has claims, that doesn't even have these attributes? What does that person actually even own, if even the one who has those attributes, they're just claims for him? He's saying that there is nothing that I have that is of myself. That if there is anything that we love in Imam al-Hussein, he's saying it's all because of Allah. That he's pointing constantly at La ilaha illallah. And don't think that this is a very small piece of information. This is a paradigm shift. He's not saying, if you love me, love Allah, he gave me this. He's saying, ultimately, there is no even me. Me is dependent upon Allah completely. I am contingent completely in my very existence upon Allah. There is nothing I have of my own self. Forget everything that I may own materially. Forget even having my children. I don't even own them. I don't even own my own life, my own thoughts, my own imagination. I don't own. I'm going to describe what this means in a minute through a hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam to further explain what this all means. What does it mean to say even my thoughts, my creativity, my imagination, all of these, they're not even really belonging to me? Because think about it. When you were ignorant and then you gained knowledge, you didn't give yourself that knowledge. Someone gave that to you. And that someone was not born knowledgeable. That someone also was needy of knowledge, and it was given to him. Ultimately, we are all needy. We are all faqir. We are all fuqara. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسَ أَنْتُمْ الْفُقَرَاءِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. O people, you are the ones in needy of Allah. You are in complete poverty to God. وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. Only Allah is the wealthy, self-sufficient. No one else, no other entity. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave everything to these human beings to come and lead us. He showed them the way to lead us. That it's very difficult for us to comprehend what that means, that I have nothing of myself, that my haqa'iq are not even real, they're just claims. It's difficult for me to comprehend that. So Allah sends a human being that comprehends that. and takes me by the hand. That's what an imam is. An imam is someone who takes you by the hand. That's why we look at the prophets. Prophets are people who are sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes with a book, sometimes without a book. They may not be messengers. You might be a prophet, a warner, but not a messenger with revelation. You might not be a Rasul, you might be a Nabi. But there are stations like Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam was a Nabi, and towards the end of his life he reached the station of Imamah. The Imam is the one who takes you by the hand to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He comes to you and he takes you towards Allah. And Allah gave him this so that we can go towards a human being that is chosen as the gateway and path to Allah, as the rope between the heaven and the earth, that there must always be a hujjah of Allah on earth. This hujjah is telling us, with everything that I have as your leader, as I'm the one who gives you this knowledge and takes you by the hand, still I have nothing of myself. It's all from Allah, and you must all understand this, my followers. He's telling us, we must all understand this truth ultimately, that the ends of all of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam's sacrifices was always tawheed and monotheism and la ilaha illallah, ultimately. He's showing us this, and we see it in the verse in the Quran when Allah says, Alastu bi rabbikum, telling his creation, am I not your Lord? He says to his creation, Qalu bala, yes, you are our Lord, but this should not be understood as a creator and his abd, as if his abd was independent and had its own will, and Allah forced himself onto the abd. That would mean that there is something there occupying a space where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not. But there can be no space like this, even though Allah is not a material being. There can be no independent entity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him to ask, and it has independence on its own and says, yes, I accept you. No. He is saying, I am al-Rabb wa anta al-Marboob. You are Marboob. You are not even Abd, you are Marboob. You have nothing of yourself. You are contingent. You are complete neediness. You are complete poverty. Complete neediness. And I gave you existence. And I gave you being. There is nothing that can take you from non-being to being except I. Allah is saying, you are the relation itself. You are not an entity independent of another entity and then there's a relationship between you. You are the relation itself. The point of relation itself. Brothers, if we can have as many of you come as close as you can so we can let some in. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Please, let's let in as many lovers of Imam Hussein as we can. Thank you so much. There's even space up here for anyone who wants. Thank you. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Thank you so much. And so the Imam speaks to us with this tongue of deep knowledge, of spiritual knowledge, that we call the ilm huduri, knowledge by presence, like the knowledge that you have of your own hunger and your own thirst. This is not knowledge that is given to you. This is knowledge that you have within you. This is something that you know yourself. No one has to remind you that you are you. No one has to remind you that you are thirsty. You go to drink water when you start to feel that your throat is dry. You go and you drink some water without having to think about it, because you just received knowledge from your own being. It's different to the knowledge you're receiving from this lecture. This is from the external reality. But the knowledge ultimately that we are aiming for, when we say أَوَّلُ الدِّينِ مَعْرِفَةُ اللَّهِ, that the beginning of knowledge is to know Allah, this knowledge that we want of Allah is not knowledge that I can gain from books and from lectures. It's not knowledge that can be gained in this way. These are important prerequisites. We're not wasting our time here. We are coming with a sincere heart. But actually, the knowledge that we are aiming for is knowledge of experience, where we want to know Allah with an open, clear, pure heart. This must be experienced, because knowledge can be used for evil. They say Shaitan was one of those beings that had the most knowledge. In fact, if you twist it, some interpretations of why Shaitan did not worship or did not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah told him to bow down to Adam, you know what the interpretation, some of the scholars, they say, He did not bow down to Adam. Why? Out of ghira for Allah. He's like, "Ya Allah, how can I bow down to Adam? I only bow down to you. I won't bow down to Adam. Only you. You're my Lord." Allah says, "If I'm your Lord, I'm telling you, bow down." It's the same thing as when people say, "I don't want to follow the Imam. I'll do it just between me and Allah." Allah is the one that's saying, "Follow the Imam. I want you to come to me in this way." As if shaitan has more ghira for Allah than Allah himself. This is not the case. As much knowledge as shaitan had all those thousands of years that he was worshipping him, that he was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for thousands of years, he still flipped because knowledge was not enough. There has to be knowledge by presence within a pure heart. A heart that is sound, free of blemishes, that we have worked to cleanse. This is the kind of knowledge of experience. And it's not enough just to be able to debate. It's not enough just to be able to memorize. It's not enough to think that we have knowledge, because we have pieces of information that we can constantly retell. Everything I'm saying here to you right now means zero if I think that it's me, or I become proud of my own self. Everything I say must be understood as being from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, power from Allah. Otherwise, if I think I'm independent in any way, then it's empty words. It's empty words. So if people become impressed or people don't like it, ultimately you must do what your taklif is with Allah. You do your part with Allah. It's not up to you to impress people. It's not up to you to make them like you or not like you. You're doing what you need to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The knowledge that we want is this knowledge by presence. And this is the kind of knowledge through the tongue of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam that he's speaking with Allah with in Dua Arafah, is through this kind of knowledge. And I shared the prophetic hadith yesterday, which is repeated in several different sources, by Rasulullah SAW himself and by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, where he says, "Laysa al-ilm bi kathrat at-ta'allum bal huwa nur min Allah yaqdhifu fi qalb man yasha." That knowledge is not in the amount of strenuous study that you engage in. It's not in how many books you read. It's not in how many intellectual acrobatics you can do. Knowledge is light from Allah, sent into the heart of the one who Allah wills. The pure heart, the sound heart. يَقْذِفُهُ فِي قَلْبْ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And one of the sources that this hadith is found in is the hadith of Unwan al-Basri. And it's a man who is seeking knowledge, sitting with Imam al-Sadiq, and he says, أُرِيدُ الْعِلْمُ. And Imam al-Sadiq replies, لَيْسَ الْعِلْمُ بِكَثَّةَ التَّعَلُّمُ. He's telling him, it's not in how many books you read. And so Unwan al-Basri asks, how do I gain this knowledge? This knowledge by light into my heart. And he responds to him, Imam Sadiq says, "In أَرَدْتَ الْعِلْمِ." If you want this real knowledge, فَطْلُبْ فِي نَفْسِكَ. Then you must seek within yourself حَقِيقَةُ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ. The reality of worship and devotion. That's how Imam Sadiq is telling Unwan to gain knowledge. That you must seek within yourself, and please, every word of the Imams in this narration, this is a narration attributed to the Imam. Yes, just for those who may want to inquire about the chain of the hadith, there are question marks on the chain, but the ulama, this is a famous hadith amongst the ulama, to the point that some of them, they carry it with them wherever they go. And there are other sources by which this narration is found. But ultimately, he is telling Unwan, in every single word that he says, فَطْلُبْ سِيكْ فِي نَفْسِكَ. This is the part that is such a key. He didn't say, look outside of you. He said, look inside of you. فَطْلُبْ فِي نَفْسِكَ. You must look within yourself. And there you will find the reality of devotion and worship. حَقِيقَةُ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ. That's how you gain knowledge by light in a sound heart. This is different than what some of us have been taught in how much you study. Yes, that's a prerequisite, but it's not the ultimate goal. You can study and have all the information and be a walking encyclopedia, but you may not have true ilm, true knowledge of Allah, true knowledge of Islam. It's a light. So then we must seek it through devotion, within ourselves. Within ourselves, ilm huduri, knowledge by presence. To know Allah within myself, that I feel Him, I experience, then I understand He's closer to me than my jugular vein. Yes, because He's closer to me than my jugular vein, because He literally in my states, and my feelings, and my emotions, ilm huduri basically, those are my states, I experience my proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is different to anything that you may understand conceptually. And here, I wanted to narrate for you a hadith. Because sometimes when I speak this way, some people, they become very sensitive. Because they say, this is Sufi. And they become very scared and afraid that this is not from Ahlul Bayt. That's why I'm mentioning hadiths. They say this is not from Ahlul Bayt. These are Sufi teachings. Even though if I bring so many different narrations from the Ahlul Bayt, you would find that the Ahlul Bayt said this, the Ahlul Bayt said this. It sounds like Sufi teachings. What do you mean Sufi teachings? Anything that's mystical? There's so much mysticism in the words of the Ahlul Bayt themselves. So I wanted to read this narration for you. I want to read parts of it for you so that no one goes and says Hussein Makki is making these things up because he loves Imam Khomeini, or he loves these different mystics, and he loves, you know, Sufis and whatever else. No. I'm speaking Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. So Imam As-Sadiq, in this narration, this is in Kitab al-Tawheed in Al-Kafi. Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam is next to the Kaaba, and there are two atheists sitting in Mecca, watching all the people around the Kaaba. And one of them, atheist number one, says to atheist number two, he says, look at all these people, they don't understand anything, they're all like animals, except one of them. Only one of them is a man of knowledge. So atheist number two says, which one? And why have you made a distinction between him and all the others? Atheist number one says, he's different. He has knowledge. And I don't advise you go and speak to him because he will convince you that God actually exists. I stay away from him because he confuses me. So he says, no, you're just saying that. Literally, that's how the narration goes, by the way. They have a little conversation, you should read it. He says, no, you're just saying that because you know that he can defeat you in a debate, but he can't defeat me, but you don't want me to go and try. He's like, if you want to try, you can be my guest. He's like, fine, I'm going to go speak to him. So this atheist number two goes, I believe his name is Ibn Abi Awja'. He goes and he approaches Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. And as he approaches him, he's the one narrating the hadith. He says, Tada'ani, Ibtada'ani. Imam As-Sadiq begins to speak to him first. And this is really important because you know Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam is not in defense mode. He knows what's happening, he understands, he saw who he was with. So he began to speak to him straight away. He started asking him questions. The man started to respond. Then the man says the following. They start speaking about Allah, speaking about existence of Allah. And then I want to narrate for you the hadith. So, the man says, as they begin to get into conversation, Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam is telling about, you know, look around you, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can you deny the existence of God? This is what the man says. If the matter is as you say, and as they say, why doesn't he not appear to his creation? You know, isn't that what you always find people saying? But why don't he just show himself? Why can't he just show himself, talk to us directly, then we will worship him, then there'll be no disagreement amongst us, there'll be no atheists. Khalas, if he comes and tells me, I'm Allah, worship me, I'll worship him. Why does he leave me in this guessing game? Why does he hide from us and sends messengers instead? If he engaged with us directly, it will be easier for me to believe in him. You hear that a lot, no? That's a common idea amongst atheists. They're saying the same thing. All these ideas are, by the way, they are rehashed all the time. A lot of these, whenever someone comes as if they have a new discovery or a new argument against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or religion or Islam, you find these were always present hundreds of years ago in our books and the imams replied to them. They're old, but they just rehashed them, the same thing. Actually, the funny thing is, atheists are the ones who think of Allah the most, by the way. We worship Allah, but we go on with our lives. Atheists always like, Allah, does he exist? He doesn't exist. Come on, Allah. He wants to debate everyone. He's doing dhikr the most. SubhanAllah. So then he says to Imam Sadiq, where is Allah? Why doesn't he show himself to us? Now, the logical answer, the answer logically is easily, ma Allah doesn't have a body. What do you mean show himself to you? Do you want him to come into the material realm? He's not material. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a material being. He is immaterial. He is above this realm. This realm is a low realm. It's called dunya because it is alamuddani, the lowest world, physical world. Allah is not physical. If you want him to show himself to you, that means he's in a body. If he's in a body, that means he has parts. Parts are needy of each other. And Allah is not needy. Allah is self-sufficient and wealthy. So Allah cannot show himself to you. It's like saying, can I fit a tree into this cup? It's a tree. It cannot fit into the cup. The dimensions don't allow for that. Allah is immaterial. The material world cannot handle an immaterial being. But Imam Sadiq does not answer him logically. He answers him through ilm huduri. He answers him differently. He wants him to experience. Because this first answer, the logical answer, is the correct answer. It's conceptual. I must understand it. It's external. But he wants him to feel the presence of Allah different. He can convince him all day with argument after argument after argument. Notice, a lot of the time, people come to me and they say, this person is disbelieving, this person doesn't believe, this person doesn't believe. The first thing I say is, who are they? What's happened to them? What's their background? What's their story? Because everyone's different, and you'll realize, if I meet them, I can give them several dozens of arguments as to why they should follow Islam, but they still won't because they are hurt or they are damaged. Someone who is angry at the world because his son passed away, or a lady who's angry at the world because her husband mistreated her and divorced her and left her. So no matter what you say to her, khalas, no, he was, because he had a beard and he wore some rings, she hates Islam. If I give her all the arguments in the world, if I give him all the arguments in the world, they won't accept it, conceptually. Because you have to make them experience something. Then you have to know who they are and let them experience. Imam Sadiq does this. So the Imam says, woe to you. How could you say that he hides from you when he displayed his power within yourself? The power within yourself he displayed. You said he hides from you. You said you want Allah to show himself? But his power is within you. He's showing his power through you. He said, isn't he the one who made you grow after you were a child? You were a child. You were small and you grew. How? How did you grow? On your own? Isn't he the one who strengthened you after you were weak? Remember when you felt weakness and then you felt strength? That strength, where did it come from? How did you grow? Where did you get that strength from after you were weak? Remember when you were sick and you became healthy, and when you were healthy and you became sick? How do you go through all these different states inside you? Or how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala angered you after your satisfaction and pleased you after your anger, saddened you after your joy, made you joyful after your sorrow. He's speaking about states. They're all ilm haduri. When you're sorrowful, when you're sad, it's an experience. When you have happiness, it's an experience. He's speaking to him about his experiences inside him. Because فَاقِدُ الشَّيْءٍ لَا يَعْطِيهِ. If you don't have something, you cannot give something. How did you give yourself strength? You don't have strength. How did you give yourself strength? It's not yours. Where did you get it from? You were weak once upon a time. You were ignorant once upon a time. How did you gain knowledge? How did you gain strength? When he gave you hope after your despair, all of these are experiences. All of these are within your ilm haduri. All of this is knowledge. You have knowledge of your hope. You know when you feel amal. You have knowledge of your despair. When you feel like there is no hope, you have knowledge of this. You feel this. You feel anxious. Imam Sadiq is saying all these things that you're going through, who gave you them? They're all inside you. From where did they come? Imam Sadiq kept going on and on and on. And then the man, Ibn Abi Awja, he narrates now. He said, and then Ja'far al-Sadiq continued recounting the power of Allah to me, which exists within myself, that I could no longer deny it. Until I began to think, this is the part that gets me, حَتَّى ذَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ سَيَظْهَرْ فِي مَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهُ. He said, I began to think that Allah was about to manifest Himself before Imam Sadiq and myself. He's about to appear before us. From how present I felt Allah existing, I felt that He was going to manifest Himself before us, even between Him and I. This is Ilm Huduri. Imam Sadiq was reminding him of all the power that he experiences in his life that isn't from him. Knowledge by presence. If you want to understand what it means to feel proximity to Allah, that's why I began today's lecture by saying, I wasn't just saying it as words of encouragement. I was saying it because I felt it and I experienced it in my ilm huduri. Knowledge by presence, I felt love. I was in a state of love and brotherhood and family and deen and love of Ahlul Bayt. And I felt everyone, I felt the energy of everyone, I felt the presence. That's knowledge within. Everyone has this. It's to be in touch with this and to feel the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that then you're always speaking to Allah and you always feel the presence of Allah when you are walking and before you sleep and when you wake up. Then you feel ashamed not to wake up for Fajr. That's before zero, yani. You feel ashamed of that. In fact, when you start to wake up at 4 a.m., you look at your clock and you see 4 a.m. before Fajr. Maybe Allah is calling me. He wants me to pray Salatul Layl. So, should I stay comfortable and stay in my bed? Oh no, Allah is calling me. When you are experiencing knowledge through presence and you feel so close to Allah, you don't choose your comfort in your bed anymore. You say, Allah is calling me, my master is calling me. You get up and you wash your face and you want to speak to Allah in the middle of the night when everyone else is asleep. And Allah looks at you in the hadith and He tells the angels, look at my servant. When everyone is asleep, he's worshipping me and he remembers me. And then there is love between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you are so powerful. Because you have given yourself completely, then you understand the words of Imam al-Husayn. I have no haqa'iq, I have only da'awi, ya Allah. I don't have anything for myself. Everything is from you. Then Allah gives you everything. You know, everyone spends their life. We all spend our lives trying to become somebody, when the point of life was to become nobody. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah. Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran about a day that will come. We are going to meet Allah. And on that day, insan is going to be in a special predicament. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On that day, nothing will benefit man. Nothing will benefit you. Especially when it comes to the two things that you spend your whole life trying to grow. Mal and banun. Your money will not benefit you. And your offspring and lineage and your children, they will not benefit you. Our whole lives, we are trying to increase our wealth. We are trying to expand our families. And this is halal and it's beautiful. And this is what life is all about. It's beautiful. The best part of life is this. To have a family and to increase yourself in wealth. Allah says those two things will not benefit you when you meet me. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. There's a condition for that. You must meet Allah if you want to have benefit on that day. You must meet Allah with a sound heart. A pure heart. A heart that is free of blemishes. A heart that is supposed to be cleansed. We are supposed to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a clean heart. This must happen now. When the warriors came back from a battle, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi, he looked at them and said, glad tidings to the ones who have returned from Jihadul Asghar. And imagine being a warrior on the battlefield, and your swords were drenched in blood, and you just lost some of your brothers, and then you come and your Prophet says, you just came back from Jihadul Asghar. What's Jihadul Akbar? He said, Jihadul Akbar, Jihadul Nafs. The battle against yourself. Because, my brothers and sisters, the battle on the battlefield, it ends when the battle ends. You come home. There's a winner and a loser. But Jihadul Nafs continues. Continues until your final breath. And Shaitan waits for you for your final breath. When you are at your weakest, he tries to bring you down. He tries to take you away. And if there are blemishes on your heart, he will take advantage of those at the final moments. And if you let your guard down, Junood al-Shaytan, the soldiers of Satan, which are always ready and trying to take you. In dunya, they make dunya look very beautiful for you. They are always ready and trying to take you to bring you away from the path. That even at the moment of death, they try to make you believe at the final moment that who said that there is a prophet? Who said that this Quran is the word of Allah? To make you doubt. After your whole life you have lived a certain way, they want to make you doubt right at the end. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he tells us that the mu'min, the one who worked on himself, the true believer, he will be protected in that moment. Even by Malik al-Maut himself, you'll be protected in that moment. That's why we have that dua, dua al-adila. Dua al-adila is to read to someone who is in the state of adila. He's about to leave this world. And in this time, you remind him, Ashhadu anna al-maut haq, wal-jannata haq, wal-nara haq, wal-sirata haq. That you are reminding him, all of these things are true. Death is true. And the sirat is true. And heaven is true. And hell is true. To reignite the passion of certainty in his heart before he leaves this world. But the heart that is corrupt, that person is going to have a hard time. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says, every time someone commits a sin, a black dot appears on their heart. Another sin, another black dot. A third sin, a third black dot. Until eventually all these sins without repentance completely encompass the heart, turn the heart dark, and then the heart no longer understands. It's very hard to do tawbah after that. Because you become a liar. Ibn Sina says, a liar in his dreams, he can't even have truthful dreams. He can't believe what his own dreams are anymore. Because he is such a liar, he doesn't even know what's true in himself anymore. You become someone that has no self-respect and dignity. Your heart has become corrupted. Allah speaks about this kind of heart in the Quran. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts they don't understand with. They don't understand with these hearts. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. In their hearts, there is a disease. You know who is the greatest example of this? With that dark heart that cannot understand? Listen, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. There are hearts they don't understand. It's interesting. Hearts, not minds, not عقول. He didn't say لَهُمْ عقول. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ. Hearts that don't understand. The heart is supposed to represent in Islam the jawhar, the essence of who you are as a human being. The greatest example of this sick heart is Shimr bin Diljawshan la'anahullah. This man, imagine being in Karbala and right in front of you is Abu Abdullah alayhi salam, the Imam. And you claim that you are a Muslim. You just prayed Dhuhr and Asr prayer. And you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. And that's the son of Muhammad Rasulullah. And he gave you lecture after lecture after lecture on that day of Ashura. Imagine Imam Mahdi is giving us a lecture. Imagine the knowledge he's giving us. And then he gives us a second one and a third one and inviting us to be with him. Do you know what Shimr's reply was to the Imam's lecture? The Imam came to him and he spoke to Shimr and his soldiers. And next to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam was Zuhair bin Qayn and his companions. Imam al-Husayn gave them a speech. Do you know what Shimr's reply was in the report? It's astounding when you read these reports. In the report, Shimr says to him, I don't understand what you're saying. Ajib. He said, I don't understand what you're saying. And the companion of the Imam says, I believe Habib ibn Mudahir, he said to him, Haqqan, yes, you said the truth, you don't understand. because your heart is locked, because there is darkness in your heart. You cannot understand the words of the Imam, there's darkness in your heart. That heart was completely encompassed with darkness because of how much sin accumulated. You know, it's reported that Shimr was in the army of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Siffin. Subhanallah, how someone can switch. If you look at Zubayr, Zubayr was one of the greatest Shi'is in history. Zubayr was of the Muhajirun. He left Mecca with Rasulullah wa alih. Zubayr was one of the men inside the house of Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam when they attacked the house. He took his sword out. He's the only one who took his sword out. Zubayr was present when they buried Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam. He knew where she was buried. Allahu Akbar, he's of the Khawas. He was in all the battles, Badr, Uhud, Khandaq, everything. And he always said, I love you, Ya Ali, I love you, Ya Ali, I love you, Ya Ali. 25 years later, he is in a battle fighting against Imam Ali alayhi salam. Dunya took him. Zubayr is a very, very scary example, Saraha, because it means no one is safe. You were of the greatest companions and the greatest Shia, and then you turned against Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and he dies in that battle. Imagine the final battle in your life is one where you gathered thousands of Muslims to fight the Imam of your time. What an ending. What a sad fate. What a sad destiny. He was almost there. You look at Shimr. He doesn't understand what the Imam is saying in front of him. He doesn't understand. Not even that he's against him. He doesn't understand the truth behind his words. But look at the heart of Aba Abdullah. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam had a heart of dignity, a heart of courage, a heart of a warrior, that he stood in that battle by himself and would not turn away from his mission, even after losing everyone. Especially Abu Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam, because he was the representative of the whole army, the flag bearer. And notice when he goes towards the body of Abu Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam, when he's on the ground, he sits next to him, and now he has no helper. Now Imam al-Hussein is by himself in Karbala. This was his final helper, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He's on the ground. When Abu Fadl al-Abbas breathes his last breath, what does Abu Abdullah say? Al-an inkasara dhahri. He said, now my back is broken. Because Abu Fadl al-Abbas, he held the whole army. Now my back is broken. But then he stood up. He didn't say, al-an inkasara qalbi. He didn't say, my heart was broken. He stood up and then he said, ana al-Husayn ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. And he went towards the enemy. That's a heart of a warrior, a heart of courage. He was the same with his companions as he was without his companions, because he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything. In everything he did, it was for Allah. And then we understand when he's saying to Allah, these haqa'iq that I have, they're not even mine, they're just claims, they're yours. Yes, that's why he was yearning for shahada. He was yearning to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give himself, because he knew, if even my life is for Allah, and now what is demanded of me is to give this amana back, I'll give it back. That's why Allah calls him al-nafs al-mutma'inna in the Quran. Because he is al-nafs al-mutma'inna. And he is the one who went back to Allah. Radiyatan mardiyah. Pleased with the destiny that Allah has ordained for him. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin.